could sing it all the way around. There's a mouse that's loose running in. Miss Deanna's got him fed up good. Don't try not to feed the animals. But Miss Deanna's already fed him. But he came in here, and then he's disappeared. And so if somebody goes to shouting, it could be a real shout, and it could be a real mouse. So just so you'd know. And so anyhow, all right? All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. Let me get this button here, if I can, turned on. How's that? Is that it right there? No, not yet. It's not yet. How about now? How about that? Is that now? No. How about this other one here? One more time. How about that? Is that it there? Huh? I got to tell you something. Buddy, you should have been. Are you the maintenance man here? Because you ought to be. Hey, get that out of there. I've been here for all this time. Don't even know how to get the battery. Oh, they know batteries in it. Huh. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Let me say, hey. How about that? Is that it right there? Yes, sirree. Buddy, don't they better not ever tell me that Conray can't do nothing. We've all witnessed that you can, and knew exactly what was wrong. You know how to pick your nose? If you could pick two more instruments, you'd be up with Tanner. Huh? What'd he say? Oh, well, now I didn't want to get into lunch. All right, Revelation chapter number 22. You find the place you're able to stand. Look in verse 11. Revelation chapter number 22, verse 11. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the holy city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst say, come. Him that heareth say, come, and him that is athirst say, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. In this lesson here that we're looking about this morning, in this sermon here, there's one thing that's for sure. And let me tell you what it is that life is short. I realize it all that you're looking at and listening to an old man, and I'm not as old as I'm going to be. I mean, every minute that ticks over, I'm getting a little older. I said all that to be able to say this, even at best, life is a short thing. I want to say that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you learn that not only is life short, but death is sure. Just as sure as I'm standing here, sooner or later I'm going to die. Fact is, I'm closer to where I'm going than where I came from. And if not, I shudder to think how old I'm going to get. I want to say to you that, if you will, that life is short, death is sure, and make no mistake about it, that when you look into the Bible, you better not boast yourself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, is that we ought not to boast about tomorrow, because let me tell you, tomorrow may not ever come. Yesterday's gone forever. Tomorrow may not ever come. And if you're going to deal with God, you better let him deal with you and deal right now in the eternity of right now. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that if you're looking for filth, you're going to find it. We live in a world that's full of filthiness and vileness and vulgarity and godless and wicked, that have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And that's just Baptistic speaking. I'm not talking about the rest of the world that's without hope, without God. I'm just talking about religiously speaking. That's the way that it is. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, there's a real need for the power and the moving of God in our land that we're living in. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that we need the breath of God upon us, and we need the breath of God upon these services. We need the breath of God from the word of the Lord. And let me tell you, why do you think that God, this is a God-breathed book? When God spoke and it was penned down, whatever the word of the Lord said came from God himself. This Bible said over there in the book of Genesis, don't turn there, but the Bible said that you and I, that we are living souls. God made a man and he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. The Bible said by the breath of God, Exodus 15, verse number 8, is that you'll find that he divided the sea and broke those waters open so that Israel could get through on dry land. And Pharaoh and his bunch drowned in the same sea. And the reason why, they had no faith, but Israel believed God, and they walked right on through. Then you'll find out in the book of John, chapter number 20, about verse number 22, you'll find out that over there, you'll find that there's the Spirit of God that was received by those apostles. And I'm going to tell you, it's good for them to be able to do so. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible said when God breathed, God gave the scriptures, and it's the breath of God. That's why we call it that God-breathed book, because when God spoke and God breathed, he gave the word of the Lord. I want to say to you, over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, you're going to find out, as well as in 2 Peter, you'll find that the scriptures are given by the breath of God. And in 2 Thessalonians, you'll find out is that by the breath of God, Satan's going to be destroyed one of these days. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. In this lesson here that we're looking at, you're going to find that either you can know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, or one of these days, a sharp sword goes out of the mouth of God to destroy the Antichrist and all of his followers, and you could be destroyed by the breath of God. This morning, you can be saved by the grace of God and by the breath of God, but if you wait till it's too late, then you'll be destroyed by the breath of God. Number one, I want to say to you that, if you will, that the Bible said that the power of God unto salvation is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's by the grace of God that you and I are saved. I want to tell you, I'm glad and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the Bible said, because it is the power of God unto salvation unto those that believe in. Do you know, I know some people that I like that I've known most of my life. And I really like them, but they just don't want nothing to do with God whatsoever. I'm not going to church preaching. People try to get me to live right, to do right, to walk right, and talk right, and spit white. And, well, would you rather die without hope, without God, and spend eternity in a devil's hell? We're hoping someday God will turn your heart unto Christ. And let me say to you that, if you will, I'm not just talking about, I know this is the cream of the crop that's here this morning. I'm not talking about you per se. But I tell you what, is that it'd be good that if you and I would examine our own selves, I'd rather we be in the faith or not, and know how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Let me say to you, the power of God to save you is still available for you. Number two is, in this lesson here, let me tell you about the presence of God, is that when the presence of God moves on the scene, you're going to find out it's going to make the world tremble. Now, I know there's a lot of hoopla and talk and on the news media, you know, and nearly about all of them claim to know the Lord. I think some of them possibly might, but not all that say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible said, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And let me tell you, there's going to be a whole rude awakening one of these days because they're going to face the fact that they're without hope and without God. They're not without filthiness, but they're without faith. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that what the world cannot see, you and I are able to see by the grace of God and by the power of the Lord. Now, I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, do you know somebody that you feel like is lost? Like, for instance, do you have somebody on your heart that you pray for? Dear God, save that person. I'm asking you to awaken that person. Save that person. Do you know somebody like that you've got on your heart? Then if you do not, it's because it's you. Now, I don't mean that to be ugly, but I do mean it, and I know it sounds ugly. I'm not interested in anybody dying without hope and without the Lord and going to a devil's hell. Some of you and I, we've got kids or grandkids that if they die in the condition they're in are going to bust hell wide open. See, I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about my family. Now let's talk about your family. I could be the same thing on your side of the fence. You see, we're not in business here just to be able to hear ourselves buzz our lips. But we're interested in what thus saith the Lord until God can move upon your heart and your life and you receive him in the free pardon of sin. And whenever you do, I can tell you is that what will end up happening is he will snatch you as a brand from the burning and save your soul from a devil's hell. You know, at the presence of God, the world's going to tremble. You read over in Psalms 9, about verse number 17, you ain't got to turn there now, but you're going to find that everybody that doesn't know the Lord, all nations that forget God are going to be turned into hell, the Bible said. And I got to say to you, it's good to be saved and to know him in the free pardon of sin. You know, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's a lot of men that's not heard. They've neither perceived, neither has their eyes seen what God could do for them if they would come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar. Now, I want to tell you, we can see this morning what the world cannot see. Every now and again, you'll hear somebody talking religiously up and down the road of life. And sometimes, you know, is that when you hear that going on, you can stop and listen just for a minute and tell they don't have a clue what they're talking about. If you know the Lord and you know anything about the word of the Lord, you can hear somebody, and I'm glad they're stabbing at it, but you can tell by what they're saying in the content that what the word of the Lord says and what they're saying is two different things. In this lesson, you're going to find the reason why it's that way. We can see what the world cannot see when it comes to the matter of God and the Bible and good and right, moral and decent. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you're going to find the Bible teaches us that we're as an unclean thing. Isaiah chapter number 64 gives a pretty good rundown. And you and I that are in this world, make no mistake about it, so that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we realize and know there's a lot of uncleanness that are out there. There's a lot of filth that's out there. And let me tell you, if you're looking for filth instead of faith, you'll find it. You'll find it. You know, I finally one day in my life, and I grew up, I was a pretty good boy because my mama used to pat me on the head and say, Dennis, you're a pretty good boy. Some of you got real quiet. Maybe your mama did you that way. And if not, you should have been a better person. Mama used to tell me often. Of course, I was the baby of the family. And I pulled some shenanigans on them two older sisters. And boy, would I had some fun with some of you if you had been my sibling. I got in trouble more than one time over those frame-up accusations that them older sisters tried to pin on me. I'm not going to get into it because we've got too many people here that want to try to mimic and go after those same things themselves and then choose me to justify what they're doing. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out we live in an unclean world. We live among unclean people. And let me tell you, we're dealing with a faithless world that just doesn't believe God and just don't want to believe God. Have you ever had anybody ever tell you, well, you know, preacher, I know what you're saying. I've heard it, and I grew up listening in Sunday school. I just don't want nothing to do with that. Well, have you considered what the end's going to be of you? I mean, I realize you don't want anything to do with that right now, and you don't want any regulations and all of that put upon you, but have you considered what the end is going to be for you? In other words, he asked that question. I mean, what would a man give in exchange for a soul? You know, what would you want? What are you going to trade for? Money? New clothes? Fame? Fortune? Popularity? What would you give in exchange for your soul, the Bible says? Well, I got to tell you right up front is that you'll find that you'd better not give anything. We live in a faithless world, and it's not hard to get people to fill up ball stadiums on Sunday. I don't know if anybody's playing today or not, but there's many times, there's 80, 90, 75, 80, 90,000 people, depending on what game it is and depending on what time, they'll shell out. I'm talking about high dollar games, they tell me, and I've not bought one of them and all of that and all that business there. But I'm just saying to you, it's not hard to fill up a ball stadium, but it's very hard to fill up the Church of the Living God. And the reason being is because we live in a faithless world. Oh, they go through all the motions. Over there in the book of Jude, I want you to just find the place. You can wait there in a moment. But we live in a faithless world. You know why? It's because it's a filthy world. That's the reason why that that's the reason why that every now and again, you know, they'll have, let me try to think, get my characters right. You ever notice like on a Super Bowl or a special thing, they'll have somebody that's very popular. Remember whenever, what was his name? Is that Justin Timberlake? And he was singing with that Jackson girl. What was her name? What's that Jackson girl's name? Who? Janet Jackson. JJ. That's what we'll just call her JJ for short. How about that? You remember that? And Justin Timberlake, you know, he reached and yanked over. Remember all of that business there? We'd have to rewatch that over and over and try to pause it and catch her with her jerked open. And just me. I thought I might suck one or two of you into that. Anyhow, that was a big deal. You see what I'm talking about? And oh, my word, all the crowd and all the world, they began to just gasp like it was the most godless thing they'd ever seen. Well, what about the bunch that was out there in their drawers and their little old bitty brassiere top just covering just, you know, it's not against the law to show your bosoms. It's against the law to just show the nipple of it. God bless you. Thank you very much. We live in a godless, faithless world that we're living in. And let me say to you that, if you will, there's a right place, and there's a right place for all of that, but it's in marriage, you see. And then it ought not to be open before all of the world, you see. And let me just tell all you couples here that are married is that while you're enjoying one another, because when you get a kid that comes along, no reflection on, but you're going to lose some of your privileges. Wait till you've got five of them running around in the house, and oh my, and then you forget it. Try sparking around, being passionate with your spouse with four or five kids are driving on each leg and hollering and screaming and all that, right? Yeah. Never mind, I can see y'all. I can see it right now, y'all just. We live in a world that's surrounded by everything but God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, isn't it amazing how that the queers have taken over in this country? Isn't it sad how that they have managed to be able to have a place, and not only a place, but they've got a lot of pull even in the country that we're living in the day and hour that we're living in. And we've got child molesters, drunkards, and dope heads up and down the road of life. This Bible says over in the book of Jude, verse 8, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. I want to tell you is that that's the kind of world that we're living in. They want nothing to do with God, nor the touch of God, nor the power of God. Now, I want to say in closing this morning that, if you will, is that whenever you come down to the house of God, you ought to be able to hear something from God that'll give you hope and that'll snatch you as a brand from the burning. There's a passage over in Zephaniah chapter 3. Don't turn there. Verse 1 and 2. Bible talk about that polluted city that obeyed not the voice of God. Over in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, he said that we need more than a change of our garments. We need to change our heart before God. You know, you can leave here this morning and go change your outfit, and that's great, and that's nice, and I'm glad you've got more than one. But I got to tell you, it's not just an outward change that we need. It's an inward change that we're needing in this country in this day we're living in. This Bible said in Revelation 22 that we looked at, there's a permanence of the condition. Like, you're righteous, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is old. There's coming a time that it'll be too late for you to change whatever it is you're in. See? Now, I don't know about you, but do you remember that those virgins, there was what, 10 of them? And the Bible said, and I believe it's over in Matthew in about chapter number 25, but do you remember how that while they had oil in their lamps, that it came time, came about midnight, and it was time for the Lord to return and for the bridegroom and those 10 virgins that took their lamps went forth, so forth and on. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. And the Bible said the wise ones took oil in their lamps, but the foolish, they waited till the last minute. And the Bible said that whenever the Lord let the wise ones in, the other five were shut out. And the Bible said that whenever you look at that, that what we need to realize is that those who went to buy for themselves and did not prepare aforetime, it was too late for them to be able to change. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something, is that the other virgins went in, the door was shut. And though they cried from without, it was much too late. I want to say in closing that if you will, there is going to come a time that it'll be too late to change. Too late to change. I've known people who said, preacher, I've done this so long, I don't think God would even hear me anymore. Well, won't you let God be the judge of that? See? I can tell you, I always, and here's my policy, it's never too late for you until they're ready to put that embalming fluid in you or throw that shovel of dirt on the coffin in your face. Then we know it's too late. I've seen people that literally clutched that body screaming and crying, oh, Lord, don't let my loved one be in hell. It's too late to cry then. It's too late to cry. That's why God talked about over there that though they cry in his destruction, one of these days it's going to be me, one of these days it's going to be you. I said to you all the time, I'm going to say it again just so you'll know it. When I'm gone, if you like, you can come to the gravesite where I'm at and jump up and down on it because that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be on the other side. And if you're a child of God, when it comes your time to go, so will you. So will you. I don't know about you, but that's the blessed hope. The blessed hope. I wonder, do you know him this morning? And if you don't, would you like to? This would be a good time to be wise and to come as our song director's coming and as our music. And as we get ready to sing the invitation song this morning, we'll not be long. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I want to pray for my mama, my daddy, my sister, my brother, my aunt, my uncle. I've got some kinfolk, just friends that I, colleagues that I've met in life. Whatever the need is, the Lord knoweth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word and the message. And I pray that now that you'd finish the message in every heart. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord, that you're knocking on their heart's door already. And it's not too late. If they had but come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you've done and for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. What number is it?
Number
124. 124, come quickly, do it while we sing. And just hands. Preacher, I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. I need something.
need something to stir me down in my soul. Why would you come? What's she?